So Paul, in that context, writing to that young pastor Timothy, was basically saying, let's get fired up, wasn't he? Fan into flame this gift that was, when I put my hands upon you. So in other words, Paul had prayed over Timothy, and Timothy must have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And now Paul is telling him to fan into flame, get fired up on this cold winter day. Yeah, getting a little fire inside of us might be nice. But I want you to read, too, in fact, in the bulletin, there's some words that really struck me a couple of weeks back towards the idea of having a faith overhaul and what it would take to really get our faith running on all eight cylinders. This quote from E.M. Bounds just so struck me. In fact, several of his quotes I want to read for you, but the bulletin header, so first page, inside page, right under where it says worship celebration, January 17, 2016. It says, God requires to be represented by a fiery church, or he is not in any proper sense represented at all. God himself is all on fire, and his church, if it is to be like him, must also be at white heat. Now, somebody might say, I think he's kind of exaggerating, my goodness. I mean, come on, really, fired up and to keep that fire, and we go through mountaintops and valleys, and that's just life. Is it? Or does God want to raise up an army of Calebs who would keep that fire and just keep stoking that fire? And that fire just never diminishes. In fact, it only increases as time goes on. That really is what God's after. Let me read another quote, same context, same book, from E.M. Bounds. And he says this, true prayer must be aflame. Christian life and character need to be all on fire. Lack of spiritual heat creates more infidelity than lack of faith. Ooh, I'm going to repeat that. Lack of spiritual heat creates more infidelity, unfaithfulness, than a lack of faith. Not to be consumingly interested about the things of heaven is not to be interested in them at all. The fiery souls are those who conquer in the day of battle, from whom the kingdom of God suffers violence and who takes it by force. The citadel of God is taken only by those who storm it in dreadful earnestness, who besiege it with fiery, unabated zeal. Oh, I love that. This guy's ability to communicate this passion that God so desires is amazing. So I want to talk about passion. I want to go 3D with it and talk about the three dimensions of passion. There's probably several more dimensions, but three of the central dimensions that I see are desire, determination, and devotion. So first, desire, and that's the word that E.M. Bounds uses. That God wants to have that passionate fire within us. And he refers, of course, to Revelation. When Jesus is giving to the Apostle John a message, a specific message for specific churches, and when he comes to the churches or the church in Laodicea, he says, you know what? You are lukewarm. I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. Some of the translations say I'm ready to vomit you out of my mouth. Wow. And so E.M. Bounds is not exaggerating here when he says that what God wants is a church that is all fired up. And not just a flash in the pan kind of fire. He wants this passion inside us. He wants us to have zeal, to have fervor. So many of us, we get that passion in moments of desperation. Then we come to God and we're praying, and oftentimes God does come through, and after a while he's come through and we cool off when the crisis is over. But I say, truly, the house suffers when the fireplace is not attended to, and when no one stokes the fire. And so it is, many hearts and many homes suffer because there's no spiritual fire in that home. There's no passionate prayer. There's no family devotions. With too little heat, sickness soon takes over. And then we wonder why our marriages suffer, why our kids rebel, and why there is so little joy in the home. Because God's Spirit is not there in fire. We need to fan into flame the Spirit of God inside of us. Fan into flame the Spirit of God in our homes. We need to pray much. We need to study the Word individually and together as a family. We need to sing. We need to worship together. And then love each other as the Word of God directs us. And I say the result would be nothing less than extraordinary. In fact, it would be described as revival, personal and family, and even church-wide. God wants us to have that kind of passion. How, though, and how can we keep it? How can we keep it stoked? Well, the next D is determination. We need to be determined. So Jesus called upon those would-be disciples and said, count the cost before you would commit to follow me. Consider what the implications are. And he said to some who wanted to follow him, hey, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Think about that one. Jesus was homeless. He was a homeless man. He said, consider the cost, but we need to be determined. It's that kind of determination that Noah had. I mean, God gave him the assignment to build an ark. This was before power tools. Do you realize how large this ship was? It was something, it was over, let's see, 100 and something like 165 yards. It's more than 1.5 football fields long, 52 feet high. It was 5 stories tall. All this before power tools. It says that Moses, it just says in the Bible that he was 400 when he started having his kids. And then it was 500, he was 500 years old when he got in the ark. Some people therefore say, well, it was 100 years in the building. I don't know. But it was day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, building that ark. Was that determination or what? His fire did not go out. We could go on and on. Moses and his determination. Caleb, I was explaining to the kids about his determination. I love that guy. We could go on and talk about Esther. Esther was determined. She determined what she was going to do. It might cost her her life. But she went before the king without being summoned and went to appeal, make an appeal for her people. It could have cost her her life. God came through. The Apostle Paul, you could not stop that guy. The fire could not be put out. You could beat him. You could imprison him. You could stone him, thinking you had killed him. He went through hunger and deprivation. Nothing stopped him. In fact, he said, hey, even though on the exterior we're wasting away, inside being renewed every day. It's that kind of determination. Every day, and every day plugging away, studying the Word of God, praying, worshiping. This is what it means. This is what it takes to not just stoke the fire, but keep that fire stoked. And devotion. Devotion speaks of faithfulness, allegiance, consecration. It was interesting that the Levites were consecrated. That tribe, the Levitical tribe, was consecrated to God because of their faithfulness. It was neither random, nor was anything else going on. But because they rose up and showed their faithfulness to God in a time of crisis, the time where the rest of the Israelites were rebelling against God, they stood up and they were faithful to the Lord. And so God consecrated them and set them apart. And that's what God is wanting to do. So God's Spirit is moving to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those, that he may consecrate those whose hearts are completely his. I love it. That's what was said about Caleb, that he followed the Lord his God wholeheartedly. God is looking for people who would serve him wholeheartedly, all out, making a commitment, and then he will consecrate. He will make us holy. He will set us apart, and he will put his Holy Spirit inside of you. And that Holy Spirit will do awesome things, not just in your own life, producing an incredible, godly amount of love and of joy and of peace inside of you. That love and joy and peace multiply in your heart. It overflows and spills out, and you can't even imagine the blessings that will come upon your family or the Spirit of God. Lighting up on fire their hearts. Do you want a revival in your home? Do you want a revival in the hearts of your children and your grandchildren? Do you want to turn things around? Stop having life just beat you down, but truly become more than conquerors. That's how it is. It's to be lit up, get on fire for God. Be devoted to him, be determined to have a passion for him. The alternative. Ian Bounds speaks of this alternative. He says, two things are intolerable to God: insincerity and lukewarmness. He says, lack of heart and lack of peace are two things God loathes. And he says, no erudition, no purity of diction, no wit of mental outlook, no flowers of eloquence, no grace of person can atone or make up for lack of fire. God wants people who are fired up. I have a holy desire that is consuming me in these days. I am so sick and tired of seeing the results. People that are senseless. We're like sheep at the slaughter, and watching so many families being disintegrated by divorce, by disease, by addiction, people's lives being torn apart. Peter said that our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. His MO, he wants to devour. Jesus talked about the enemy, saying what he's about is he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I see it happening. I see it happening all around us. So this passion is growing inside of me. And I'm calling out to you. Who would join me, please? Who of you would give your lives to Christ wholeheartedly, determinedly, devotedly, and with passion? No matter what the cost, my hand is at the plow, and I dare not turn back. Dear God, please. And it is hopeless. It is a hopeless adventure. How could we change this? So just like the 10 spies looking at these fortified cities and these giants saying, it's hopeless, it's a hopeless cause. No, I stand here with, God, make me like Caleb, saying, but if God is with us, who can stand against us? This is not a hopeless cause. Let's get fired up. Let's pray. And not the kind of passion where we're trying to just create some sort of man-made fervor and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, praying to God, dear God, fill us with fire. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit, dear God. This is my prayer. And this is what my prayers have been coming to. And so I issue a call. Who is with me? I would want you to do this. I would want you to consider the costs. This is not some emotional appeal. I want it to be a spiritual appeal. If the Spirit of God is working in your heart, and you are even remotely interested in pursuing this, I would ask you to fill out on one of the cards there in the seat backs and just say, write your name and say something like, I'm in, or I'm all in, and put that in the offering plate, and I'll follow up with you. I don't even have it all planned out. I got ideas. I got some sort of a vision, but I think coming together, that synergy could happen, and we could create a vision for how we could equip ourselves, and with God's Spirit in us, maybe, just maybe, see revival. I wouldn't even say maybe. God willing, it will happen. I am convinced, because God's Word says it, that if we open our hearts to Him and humbly ask Him to have His Spirit in us and fired up, I think awesome things could happen. And at a personal level and then a family level, it would be revival. Are you in? Let me know, and we'll talk about it. But I ask everybody, do consider it, count the costs. But know that lukewarmness, biblically speaking, is not an option. So do consider it, and I beg of you. Heavenly Father, I have done my best to be faithful to your word and what your Spirit was communicating to me. I just pray that, Lord God, that your Spirit would be at work. And again, not, Lord, please don't let it be a flash in the pan. Lord God, do a work of consecration, that those who would open their hearts to you, Lord God, it would be nothing less than a baptism of the Holy Spirit, lighting our hearts and spirits on fire. And then, Lord God, we'll see what the result would be, but we're trusting that you would give us the wisdom and you would lead us towards revival and towards wonderful, awesome things in service to you. Please, dear God, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to encourage you too. If you really are serious about seeing your life and your family turned around, you need to engage. You need to engage with God. And so through prayer, through devotions, through the study of the Word. Now, I would love to see more of you engaging here at church. I mean, Sunday mornings, yes, but also throughout the week. We've got wonderful opportunities. We've got this class on depression and suicide Wednesday and Sunday. We're going to continue with series of classes Wednesday and Sunday nights, but we've got Sunday school at 9:15, and we've got opportunities for prayer. If you read E.M. Bounds, he is a guru on prayer. And he's just saying prayer is what does that work of spiritual revival. And it has to be. So if you're somebody who says, I know, but I struggle with prayer. I don't understand it. I'm not even sure. Please come join us. Learn about it. We'll teach you. Come on Monday nights, 5:30. Or come on Wednesday mornings at 7 o'clock. And if you say, no, those times work for me, Pastor, but I really want to, we'll create another time. Let me know when. Okay? But get into prayer. And watch how God gets into you and into your life and absolutely does miracles. With that said, I encourage you to bow with me and let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. How great is your love for us. Your passion for us culminated in the cross. And with steel determination, Jesus suffered for us. He didn't turn back. And with absolute devotion, He took our sins upon himself and gave his life to save ours. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We confess, however, that our love for you in return is so weak in comparison. Our commitment and determination is so lacking. Our devotion has been shameful. Our spirit's fire has been dim. Oh, help us, Lord God. But we are eternally grateful for your unfailing love. Despite our failing, you are unfailing, and you keep pursuing us and drawing us in with cords of love. Thank you, Lord God. And now, Lord, light our spirits on fire. May your amazing grace and your astounding love be the fuel that ignites our hearts and our passion for you. Lord, we come before you now on behalf of our loved ones who are in need. And may that same grace and love extend to them, and may you even work miracles in their hearts and lives. And so we continue to pray for those who are struggling with cancer. Lord God, we're thankful that it seems like Don Yackel is on the road to remission. Please bring to full completion that good work you've begun in him. And we continue to pray for Tabitha too, and Tasha and their struggles, and be with Josiah Baker and Debbie Miller and Mindy Allison. Do miraculous works in their lives. May your holy hand be upon them to bless and heal them. And Lord, we want to pray for Tab Estes' dad right now. The family was called to the hospital this morning. The doctor wanted to consult with them, and that just seemed ominous. Please, Lord God, bless his dad. His name is Junior. And I just pray, Lord, that your will would be done. And he is a man of God. And so it can only have a good ending one way or another. And so either bring him into your glorious presence and do that without suffering or struggle, or, Lord God, please heal him up. But be very present with them and their family, and be providing peace, your wonderful peace, to everyone involved. Continue to be with those struggling with pain, God. Bless Felipe. We're glad that he's seeing a breakthrough with a new medicine. Thank you, God. Please keep it up. Bless Jean DeGrasse, too. Lord God, we pray for Juanita's brother, Rick, as he continues to recover from his eye surgery. May it go well, Lord God, and bless him. Please be with our older members. Many of them are struggling with all the complications that come in this last season of life. Bless them. Bless Marge Nelson, Gene Riley, and Arlene Miller. Please bless them, Lord God. And also be with Maria Cantu's family. She's down now with her mom, recovering from a broken hip, and now her brother Jose has been hospitalized. Lord God, be present with them. Be with the family of Maxine's sister, Mamimi, after her passing away this past Tuesday. Bless them with your peace, God. And be with Earl Berkland, too, Greta's brother. He's been hospitalized recently. Lord God, bless him and strengthen him. And bless Ashley's co-worker, Cassidy. She's having surgery this coming Tuesday. And please, Lord, watch over her. And Lord, be with Pam Thompson's dad, Ron, being checked again for cancer, and we pray that it doesn't return. And be with Carolyn Crawford, Carolyn Grimes' cousin. She's now, I believe, in day 75 of isolation, recovering from stem cell transplant surgery. Please, God, bless her. And help her to get to that day 100 and way beyond. And heal her up. And continue to be with Pam's friend, Michelle Smith. She has a heart condition that might require another surgery. Lord, I also praise you for Pastor Saeed Abedini's release. Lord God, thank you, thank you. And yet his case received so much attention. There are so many others who are being held in prison because of their faith. Lord God, do a mighty work. And be with them, Lord God, all those who are persecuted for you. Lord, continue to bless our church. Continue to build us up. And I pray, Lord, that revival would come upon us. Please, God, Lord, empower us that we may do your kingdom work. And do it being lit on fire. Lord God, light a fire also in our mission and outreach partners. And so we pray for Pastor Dwayne Brothers and his ministry, Love Hope. And we pray for our sister church, Jesus People USA Covenant Church, and especially their Cornerstone Community Outreach, their outreach to homeless people and families. Bless them, God. And bless the Gazulises and their ministry to Mexico, God. Lord, please bless our nation, and especially when it comes to the political election, we pray that you would do a mighty coup and put into leadership, Lord, those whose hearts are wholeheartedly about serving you. Bless us at the national level and at the state level, too, God, both in Illinois and Iowa and throughout. We just pray for that kind of godly leadership. And bless our military, God, and help them to be, then, agents of peace. And whether that requires going to battle, or if they can, by their presence, fend it off. Lord, bless them, cover them, protect them, especially all those families also of the military and all the veterans. Bless them, God. Lord, we pray that you would continue then to bless the homeless, especially during this extreme cold. And bless all the people affected by extreme storms that are happening throughout the United States and throughout the world, God. Lord, be the Prince of Peace over us all. Lord, we commit to you our prayers, trusting completely in your unending faithfulness and in your love. Thank you for taking these burdens and taking responsibility for our concerns. Lord, we place them in your hands, trusting in you. And to you be our glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name.